This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Regardless of whether retirement is 2 or 20 years away, Aware Super can help you get a plan in place to live your best retirement. Visit aware.com.au to find out more. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Siobhan Moran McFarlane.
It's Thursday the 4th of April. In your Squiz today, a new Governor-General is named, Albanese speaks to Netanyahu, a superstar's billionaire status, and you can't slow down ageing. This is your Squiz today. We'll have a new Governor-General as of the 1st of July, Siobhan. PM Anthony Albanese has named the prominent businesswoman and gender equality advocate, Samantha Mostyn, as David Hurley's replacement.
Yeah, so he's the incumbent Governor-General and also a former Chief of Australia's Defence Force. He's been in the role since 2019. Now, Mostyn is only the second woman to ever take up the position and the 28th Governor-General since Australia became a thing back in 1901. If you're not familiar with her, the 59-year-old is a lawyer by trade, but she's held a lot of public and private sector roles in business, sport, climate change, and the arts. And she's been on a lot of boards. She's currently the chair of City Australia's Consumer Bank, and she's also the president of Chief Executive Women, which says it is the preeminent organisation representing women leaders.
Yeah, she has a bit on the go. And she was also the first female commissioner of the AFL. She held that role for over a decade up until 2017. What Albanese says is that she's a modern and optimistic person who, this is his quote, reflects our enduring Australian values of equality, fairness, and a responsibility to build a better future.
Yeah, and Mostyn says she's deeply honoured to represent the values, hopes, and aspirations of all Australians. But the other thing to note is that the Governor-General is technically appointed by the Crown, aka King Charles, as head of the Commonwealth, but he really makes that decision based on advice from Australia. So that makes Mostyn the King's representative in Oz. So the role involves her overseeing some quite important bureaucratic, government-y sort of tasks. And given that, some have actually questioned her suitability for the role.
Yeah, mostly Conservative campaigners. One of those was Matthew Sheehan from Advance, who said that Albanese has rewarded a Republican with a $500,000 a year salary to represent an institution she doesn't believe in. If those are her views, though, Mostyn wouldn't be the first. Former Governor-Generals Bill Hayden and Dame Quentin Bryce both supported an Aussie becoming our head of state. Siobhan, Albanese had a busy day yesterday. Aside from announcing a new Governor-General, he also spoke to Israeli PM Benjamin Netanyahu about Israel's deadly airstrike on aid workers on Monday. That's the attack that left Aussie Zomi Francom and six others dead.
Yeah, so Albanese says he conveyed Australians' anger and concern over that attack to Netanyahu. And just to recap what happened, the group were volunteering with the charity World Central Kitchen and had just left a food warehouse in central Gaza when their three-vehicle convoy came under attack. The charity said yesterday the Israeli military had been informed of the aid workers' movements, and that info prompted Albanese to push Netanyahu for a thorough investigation into what happened.
Yeah, he says Netanyahu has committed to that investigation. The attack has called into question the effectiveness of the Israeli-led system to protect aid workers who are in Gaza, and it's also caused several other charities to pause their operations out of safety concerns. We saw some new details yesterday about the evidence that Network 10's lawyers will present in the federal court against former political staffer Bruce Lerman's defamation suit. It's been released after 10 was given the green light to reopen their defence.
So we mentioned this yesterday, but 10's new witness is former Seven producer Taylor Auerbach. He worked on Lerman's interview with Spotlight last year, and his three affidavits allege that Lerman received more perks on Seven's dime than just his rent, which is something that we learned about last year. Now, Auerbach claims that Lerman had tie, massages, shall we say, worth around $10,000, as well as a $400 round of golf and about $13,000 worth of accommodation, drugs and meals, all paid for by Seven. Ten's lawyers will argue the new evidence damages Lerman's credibility.
Yeah, for Seven's part, though, it's called those claims false and misleading. Auerbach will give evidence in court this afternoon, so I think it's safe to say, Siobhan, that we'll be speaking about this one again. A quick message now from our podcast partner, BHP. Across the next couple of weeks, we'll be talking to Squizzers about BHP and the work they're doing to provide the materials that we need to transition to a low-emission economy for the energy transition. At the start of the podcast, you heard how copper is used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. So when it comes to producing it, reducing emissions is a priority. And that's why BHP is making solar, wind, and battery deals to help power their South Australian Olympic Dam copper mine. It's happening now at BHP. We already kind of knew this, and Swifties would definitely know this, but now it is official. Taylor Swift has joined the Billionaires Club. She has entered the Forbes World's Billionaire list for the first time with her $1.1 billion fortune, which amounts to about 1.7 billion Aussie dollars.
And keeping with her habit of breaking new ground, Alice, it's the first time a musician has made the list just off the back of their music. And she is joined alongside 140 other new billionaires. And all up, Forbes reported a record, get this, 2,781 billionaires in 2024. Wow. And another newbie's name that Squizzers might be familiar with is Sam Altman. He's the creator of AI chatbot ChatGPT. Chase Peterson-Whithorn, the magazine's wealth editor, reckons it's been an amazing year for the world's richest people.
Siobhan, I must admit that every time I say the word million or billion on the podcast, I think of Dr. Evil and his cackle. And this story is the perfect opportunity for me to bring that up. But I do have a new word here. Peterson-Whithorn says a record-breaking 14 centibillionaires, which is those with more than $100 billion, have 12-figure fortunes.
I mean, I can't even imagine that kind of money, Alice. I'm just thinking DuckTales with them swimming through the money. That's all I can think.
Siobhan, this is the part where we normally get into the lighter news stories, but I have some bad news today. A recent US study has found most people aged 50 to 80 years old think they look younger than they actually do.
Yes, a nice dose of reality to wrap us up today, Alice. Thank you. So the researchers say our misinterpretations of how old we look is basically a coping mechanism to help us deal with our impending mortality. And the study found that women, surprise, surprise, and those on higher incomes are especially delusional. But frankly, no socio-demographic group is immune because only 6% of adults in total think they look older than their counterparts. And they also found that appearing fresh-faced was associated with more positive experiences of aging. So it's probably no wonder that 35% of people admitted to spending money to try and turn back that clock.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily something that you can buy. Other studies have also found people with better physical and mental health have more positive aging experiences. And the researchers also say that it's not just vanity. Being the butt of jokes about looking old can have real impacts on our health. So this morning is probably a good time to give yourself a bit of a pep talk in the mirror, I reckon.
Yeah, nothing like a bit of self-love, Alice.
Siobhan, it's a good day for a shortcut.
It certainly is, but perhaps not such a good day if you're about to board a flight. And that's because this week, Alex and I dive into the ongoing safety issues at Boeing. Now, recent cases of safety failures is something we've covered a lot on Squiz today. And with some incidents happening just last month, it's prompted a lot of people to ask questions about what exactly is going on at one of the world's largest aeroplane manufacturers.
Yeah, I am a little bit of a nervous flyer, as I've told you before, Siobhan, but I am really interested in this, so I'll definitely have a listen. You can find that one in the Squiz Today feed in your podcast app. And thank you for listening today. We'll speak to you again tomorrow.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra-fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.